Good. So, good evening, everyone. Good to see you here. It's a special honor, COVID, to be here for lots of reasons. But I was thinking back the first time. I don't know if it was the first time I met Reb Tzvi, because I've known Reb Tzvi for a very, very long time. But the first time I spent a fair amount of time with him was probably 50 years ago. And he was then, had started a yeshiva and a kollel in Be'er Sheva. And at that time in Be'er Sheva, there was nothing. Yiddishkeit-wise, there was nothing. And ever since then, he's been a pioneer of not just Limud HaTorah and with unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh for Limud HaTorah, but for teaching Torah. There are lots of Rabbonim and Rosh Yeshivas who have Mesiras Nefesh for learning, and they also teach. But Reb Tzvi Krushelevsky has a Mesiras Nefesh for teaching Torah and has had all his life. And so that makes it a special kovod to have an opportunity to share some Divrei Torah with you in this place, in this yeshiva. And what a chus you have to be learning here. It's not, again, there are many yeshivas in Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, and there are many personalities, but the opportunity to learn under the guidance of somebody of this stature is rare. And I hope you realize that, but it's possible you don't. It's possible you take it for granted. It's rare. There are very, very few people of that kind of stature. So it's a great and wonderful COVID. So I thought in the bit of time that we have available, to look at some of the an interesting angle to the Yesodus of Musa. We called it the Yesodus of Musa, and we can talk about lots of things in the Yesodus of Musa. But I thought to look at some of the opening comments of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta in Imre Bina, and try and extract from there some of the Yesodus of Musa. The first thing, though, that we need to clarify is the purpose of a human being, the purpose of a Ben Torah, let's say, in the world, to become great or to do great things. What would you say? So the purpose of a Ben Torah, to become great or to do great things? To make an impact in the world, to change the world, to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in the world, or to be a great human being? Any suggestions? What do you think?
How about both?
Is it a one or the other? Is a good question. Is it a one or the other? And what happens when there is a choice? So that bear that in mind as we move forward. The other thing, bear that question in mind. And the other thing I would like you to bear in mind is an idea. Think of the human being as a massive, not in size, but in power, generator of energy. You think of a nuclear reactor can generate enough energy to supply electricity for an entire city. Think of a human being as being capable of generating enormous amounts of energy. Where do we see signs of that? Where's the evidence of that in Torah? That the human being can do that? So first in Kabbalah, you know, we have the idea of Isarusa de Tachtoin, Isarusa de Le'ela. We can energize the Ribbono Shel Olam in doing things down here that he's Kibiyochel wasn't going to do otherwise. We can send an energy to the Ribbono Shel Olam which comes back and impacts the world. So yes, we impact the world and we can impact the world, but one of the ways we impact the world is through the Ribbono Shel Olam, not directly. For a goy, for somebody who's not involved in Torah, his only way of impacting the world is to act on the world. We can do it that way, but we can also do it through channels to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can energize, we can bring an energy into the world. But even Ben Adam L'Chaveru, we know that there's an energy. The power of tefillah, the power of a brocha. So we know that there's that energy. And in the general world, they've begun to discover it very recently. The power of human energy. There was some interesting research that was done, finished in 2013, 2 years ago. It was a 20-year research study in the United States between two famous universities, where they established that people's moods, the energy you put out by your mood, are you aware that you put out an energy by your mood? If somebody with a bad mood walks into your room, do you notice? Can you feel it? You're all looking a little bit blank. Do you speak English or should I speak in Ivrit? I don't know what goes on. You're all looking a little blank. Can you feel when somebody walks into the room and they're in a bad mood? Can you feel the negative energy? When somebody walks in and they're inspired and they're besimcha, can you feel the positive energy? Right, so we put out energy. But the interesting thing is that energy, they discovered affects people three steps away. So you can affect the energy of your friend's friend's friend. It can go very, very far, the power. And we know that that can be with tefillah, and we know that that can be with bracha. So we know that the human being has great energy. Now, with that in mind, I want to do a piece in the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and then I'm going to go back to the piece before it. I'm not doing it kaseda. This is about pi maimer hamedrash shisha dvorim kodmu lebriyas ha'ilim. Yesh mem shenivru v'yesh mem sholu b'machshov elihibarois. The medrash says that there's six things that came before briyas ha'ilim. Some were actually created, and some were created b'koach, in thought and in plan, but were not actually implemented before Maaseh Bereishis. Ha'ovos olu b'machshov elihibarois. The ovos were one of those six things, and they were not actually created. We know the ovos came later. But the idea of the ovos existed before the Briyas HaOlam. Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, that idea, that concept. Because the ovos are not only personalities, the ovos are also ideas, they're also concepts. And that concept of the ovos, ovos henen amerkova, the whole idea of what the ovos were, that was all thought out before Briyas HaOlam. Ha'ovos binayin, then it brings psukim, v'yesh levayir ha'ovos, says Rabbi Yisrael. Ki noida shebemaise hasiba kodemis lamasuvov. When it comes to action, you will start with the cause and then end with the output. So everything has an input and an output. So when you're doing something physically, you do the inputs and the result is the output. So you might have an idea of building a building. You've got to start with foundations and you've got to put the first floor on the second floor and eventually you get and there's a building. And every outcome is a result of the input that precedes it. You put in, something comes out. Out of that, that goes in, something else comes out. That goes in, something else comes out. Achen b'machshova adav lehefech. But in thought, the opposite is the case. Hatachlis kodim, first comes the idea, the end, the output. And then you put the pieces into place around the idea, but you start with the end idea in your mind, and then you come to the others. V'nei Briyas HaTevel, the creation of the universe, Tachliso Odom Hasholem Yoreis Hashem V'Shomei Mitzvosov, an unbelievable statement of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The purpose of the universe. Now, you know how big the universe is. We won't go into describing how big it is, but it's beyond anything that we can begin to imagine, how big the universe is and how much it contains. The purpose of all of it is the Odom HaSholem Yoreis Hashem B'Shomei Mitzvahis of a Sholem person, a person in Sholem, and who keeps the mitzvahs. Kemama Razal, so the Chazal said, My kizeh kol ha'odom. What does it say in Koheles? Kizeh kol ha'odom, says the Gemara in Brochus. Omer Rabbi Elozo, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol ha'olam kulo lo nivro, elo bishvil zeh. This odom, this person who is a sholem and a yorei shamayim and a shomei mitzvahs, this complete integrated human being, that's why I created the world. Ulefi maimer ha'tana de be'elio, nivro ba'alil ki merkaz ha'brio ba'avur ha'odom ha'mu'ule. It's clear from Tana de Be'elio that the purpose of the world is a perfect person, a complete person, Hamashlim Chiyuvo La'alos B'Madregos Ha'Ovis, who fulfills his obligations to move up into the level of the Ovis. V'chol Odom B'Yodoy U'V'Koychoy L'Sakin Kol Koychos Nafshoy Ha'Meshutofim Imchoymro. And every human being has the ability and the power to improve and to refine his nefesh that is channeled together with his physical being. So we're an integrated being, we have chomer and we have nefesh. Every human being has the ability to become great, to develop himself to the ultimate. That's one of the important theses of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that we have that ability. Not everybody agrees, but that's a strong foundation of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's message. So now I want to go back a little bit earlier. And first he brings a medrash, which we won't go into now, and he says, before I explain the medrash, let me give some introduction. He says, there are people asher tchunosa toivo, midos of betiva rutsuya. Some people are naturally good. They just have fine midos. They're a mensch. They're born a mensch. They're raised a mensch. You see, this is a mensch. V'yesh lehefech. And sometimes you see a vildachaya. He's born a Vildachaya, he grows up a Vildachaya, he becomes an adult a Vildachaya. Ken gam ba'odem prati ilif omim kochus nafshu bal yechu b'mitzad shoved. But it's not just different human beings. Within each of us, there are different human beings. And there are times when we're behaving just beautifully and everything's going nicely and we get up for davening and we daven bekavona and we our ben odem lechaver is beautiful and we do chesed and we do tzedakah and we learn. It just goes. It just flows. And sometimes they don't. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes we just go off the track and all of a sudden we just find ourselves in a bad routine. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Sounds familiar. You know, sometimes just things aren't like they were. See, last week was great and this week's just a mess. These things happen. And it can self-destruct. You can destroy yourself if you don't get yourself in control and bring yourself round again. Al yomer ha'odem es asher oso alakim ein l'shanois v'hu yisbarak itbiya b'kach hara ve'ech ha'kaveh l'okro mishoresh. Never say, Rebbe Nishon gave me these passions and these tendencies and these trends and I can't do anything about it. That's how I was born. That's how I was made. Lo'ichei nadova. Not true. Koiches ha'odem b'nei kevisho gam chiluf ha'ema. The powers of a human being and the koichos of a human being and the passions and the midos of a human being can be conquered and changed. Big chidushim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that these things can be changed. You're not born with something and that's what you're stuck with. You can make yourself into who you want to be. Now there are obviously limits, there are parameters. There are, you know, some people are the same as you've got it physically. Some people are never going to be athletes no matter how much they practice. They're just not built like an athlete. And some people are never going to be the biggest intellect. They just don't have that kind of IQ. So there's certain limits. But to develop yourself to the full and become the greatest you can possibly become, that you can do. And you can become much greater than you are at any given time. Kasher, and then he brings a very unusual proof. And it's the proof that I want to discuss with you briefly. Kasher einenu rois betive bale chayim. You can see it with animals. You can tame an animal. If you can tame an animal, you can tame a human being, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. You can even cultivate them, you can make them cultured. You can change their nature. Out of a wild animal, you can make a domesticated pussycat. And you can remove their aggressiveness and their wildness, you can actually remove from their nature. So a human being also can conquer his bad nature, leval yetze lefulos adam, so that it doesn't get expression, it doesn't get acted on. And not only can you control your actions, so that when you've got a really negative kind of mood and you want to do something aggressive or negative, you can stop yourself. That you can certainly do, but more than that, you can actually change your nature. Al yedei halimud v'hahergel. By understanding, by learning, and practice. And Cheshbon HaNefesh, the Cheshbon HaNefesh, Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh is built on that premise. And then he brings the pasuk. We'll see if we have time, we'll get into the Chazal, otherwise we'll just discuss the following idea. So what I want to ask you is this. How do you bring a proof from animals to humans? What's the validity of such a proof? Now we even question sometimes the scientists do experiments on animals. They'll experiment with mice. Now say, see, if you do this and this to mice, you can train them to do that, so we can do the same with human beings. And put mice on certain medication and the science kind of does something, so we'll try it with human beings as well. And it's questionable. Human beings aren't mice. And human beings aren't animals. It goes so far, I saw some Sefer recently, which I'd never seen before, where he says you can't even assume that today's, in your day, medical advice applies to Yidden. You have to go. The halacha is you have to follow the doctors, but you can't take it for granted because we eat bekashrus, and that could change our whole physiology. And there's no raya that because something works for goyim, it works for Jews as well. There are areas where we might be different, and we might need a different kind of physiology, which is really interesting. But kol shchein, when it comes to animals, how can you say if you can tame an animal, you can tame a human being? We're not animals. How can you even bring such a raya? So what it's important to understand is that the human being unlike animals, is driven by two completely different systems. And it's the fact that we're driven by two systems simultaneously that makes us so complicated and so complex and so difficult for ourselves to manage. So the one system that governs us is the same system that governs animals. It's the survival instinct. We do things to survive. We eat, we sleep, we protect ourselves. When we're cold, we put something on, or we turn on the heating. These are all things we do for survival instinct. And this really is the Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara, and we can discuss it another time why it's called Ra, because at the end of the day, this is survival. Without this, we wouldn't live. The Gemara says when they battle the Yetzer Hara, life stopped. You can't operate without that. The Yetzer Hara is the power that drives people to do things for survival. And one of the Vilna Gaon says that there are two aspects. Now let's break that koach, that survival instinct, into two pieces. The Vilna Gaon says the one is the ka'asoni and the one is the ta'avoni. So ka'asoni is the aggressive and the ta'avoni is taiva. And they both come from survival instinct. The reason we have a taiva, the reason we have a desire for something we shouldn't do necessarily, is because it makes us feel alive. People do these crazy things to feel alive. If you're not feeling alive, you sometimes want to do something, whether it's when you're eating some delicious food, you feel alive. Having a good glass of wine, you're feeling alive. Sometimes you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, but you feel kind of alive, at least in that moment. So we do all sorts of things to feel alive. We will do crazy things to feel alive. We'll kill people to protect our lives. We'll kill people to protect our children's lives. We'll do weird things, ka'asoni and ta'avoni, whether we use the aggressive side of ourselves or we use the taiva side of ourselves. That's all the animal part of us, which is for our own survival. So do animals have taiva? Absolutely they do. Do animals have ka'as? Absolutely they do. And so do we. So in that part, we are animals. That is an animal part of us. And then what we have that others don't have altogether is the Yetzirah Tov. We have an Neshama, we have a totally different part, which enables us to attach ourselves to the Ribono Shel Olam and to Ruchnius and to feel alive that way. So when we are attached to the Ribono Shel Olam, we don't have a Yetzirah Hara because we feel alive. We don't feel insecure. We don't feel we have to protect ourselves. The Yetzirah Hara is driven primarily by fear. It's fear of the other person, it's fear of losing your money, it's fear of having no money, it's fear of not finding a shidduch, it's fear of children's illness, chas v'sholem, fear of one's own health deteriorating, fear of death, fear of loss of love, fear of loss of life. It's all by fear. It's interesting that the Yetzer Hara, which people think is all the kind of positive area, it's not, it's all driven by fear. And then you've got the attachment to the Ribono Shel Olam, which is driven by Ahavas Hashem. By a burning passion of love and connection with the Ribono Shel Olam, which when you feel, you don't need the fear and you don't need the survival instinct. You feel completely alive without that. So what is Rabbi Sol Salanter saying here? All the bad midas that we have are all part of that animal side of us. That's not part of the Kedusha side of us. That is animal. And just as you can tame an animal, you can tame yourself. And you don't need a lion tamer for you. You can be both. You can be the animal and the circus master. You can be the animal and the tamer. You can be both. That's what the exciting part is. And that's Musar. Musar is to recognize the animal. And just think for a moment. Think of the Moshel a little further. So think of the lion tamer. Does he have to take care of the animal's physical needs as well? Absolutely, he's got to feed the animal, he's got to give the animal exercise. The animal has certain basic needs. So do we. We have certain basic animal needs. And we have to take care of those. Because if those aren't taken care of, we don't stay healthy, we don't physically survive. That's necessary. But you can tame the animal. And if you can tame an animal, you can tame a human being. And says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, there are two steps to the training. The one step of the training is not acting out on the impulse. And this is something which the world of psychology has just now got onto for the first time ever. Until now, the belief has always been, if you're feeling angry, it's good to get it out of your system. Now they're saying, if you're feeling angry, it's good not to get it out of your system. It's actually good to deal with it in different ways. And that's the first step. The first step in Musar is the ability to say, Yes, I'm feeling angry. It's okay to feel angry. It's natural to feel angry. But I don't have to act on that anger. I can choose how I want to respond. I'm feeling terribly hungry, but the only food that's available isn't kosher. I'm allowed to feel angry. I'm allowed to say to myself, I wish it was kosher. I wish I could eat it. But I can't. Not going to act out on it. That's okay. You can have all sorts of taivas, and you can acknowledge, I feel, this is something I feel. If you don't acknowledge it, then you can't even work with it. You can't tame an animal that you don't know is wild. You can't tame a lion that you don't know is about to bite you. If you think it's tame already, you can't tame it. You've got to notice it. You've got to be aware of it. You've got to be in touch with it. And so we have to be in touch with our taivas. We have to be in touch with our kaasoni and our taivoni. I'm feeling really mad. I'm feeling really angry at somebody. I could murder them if they came near me. Fine, okay. Nothing wrong with feeling that. Just don't act on it. That's the first step. The second step, says Rishol Salanter, you can get to the point of lichvosh tivoy hara, where you're actually able to feel, start changing those feelings. Where you don't have tivas for things that aren't healthy for you. Just as you find it in the general world too. I don't know how many of you are or have been in health regimens, for example, where you've started running or going to the gym, working out, taking care of your physical health. You find when you start doing it, you get to a point where you don't have a desire for unhealthy things. It actually starts becoming a hergo. That's what happens even in the normal physical things. The same, yes, as if you're still Salanta. As you manage your passions, and as you manage your kas and your taiva, not to squash it, not to pretend it doesn't exist, to acknowledge it and choose not to act on it, what then starts happening, you develop a sensitivity that results in different feelings, different passions, different tears, and you start changing your teva. And that's the ultimate. And he says, this is the chazal that I was going to come on to. Uchamamar chazal in Ovis, in the fourth parak of Pirkei Ovis, Ezu gibur akovish es yitzro, sheneemar, and it brings the posuk from Mishlei, and he analyzes this posuk. Toiv erech apayim mi gibor. Erech apayim is somebody who holds back. Erech apayim is somebody who has the impulse and chooses not to act. He's better than a gibor. Umoishel berucho, and one who has memsholo, as governance over his ruach, over his spirit, mi loicheid ir, is better than one who conquers a city. Ki geder hagvuruhu liskoime mal shekenegdo bechosko uvoimetz yad lekoivshe. Gvuro means to conquer and vanquish and wipe out your enemy. The geder lechidas ir, but loiked ir is different. Hu bi yes anshe ha'ir sarim lemishmas loichdom ba'avo v'chibo. That's when the people of the city you've conquered are happy to do your will. They want to serve the new masters. They're excited about the new conquerors. That's a loiched ir. They joyously do what he wants them to do. If you're kovesh your yetzahara, which means you hold back, so if you're a gibur, if you're a kovesh es yitzro, that means you have a yetzer, you're aware of it, you can feel it, you name it, you know it. In the moment, you know it. And you choose not to act on it. That's a kovesh es yitzro. Mizel la'at la'at yovo libichinas moishel beruchoi. After a while of doing that, you become a moishel beruchoi. Shiyeh ruach ta'avosoi mosur biyad sichloi hayoshor, where your taiva becomes a servant of your mind, le'ehoiv es hatzedek bal yachpitz hefchoi. To love that which is right, and never want that which is wrong. V'zeh kol ha'odem, and that is the purpose of man. L'sharesh milavovo kol tchuno midoro, to uproot all these midas by constant practice. Ki kol od le'noko michalosam, because as long as you have not cleansed yourself of their effect, im ki yisgaber al yitzroi pa'amim rabbis, even though you'll often be able to conquer your yetzer and stop yourself from acting on it in the moment, ultimately, yipol berishtam. Ultimately, you're going to trip up and you're going to do it and it's going to happen. So we've got to try and get to the point where we start changing our nature, wanting what is good and not having a desire for for that which is bad, which is the ultimate development of the human being. And that's the work of Musa. It's interesting that occasionally you'll find that out in the general world, people get an idea that is MS and they articulate it very, very clearly. And one is a man called Viktor Frankl, who some of you might be familiar with. He was a survivor of the concentration camps. He's Jewish, a Jewish psychiatrist. His family lost all his family. And he studied the meaning of life in the concentration camps. And he wrote a book when he came out of the concentration camps. And one of his beautiful comments is that there is a moment of time between stimulus and response. Something stimulates you. Somebody gets you angry. You have a desire for something. Something stimulates a taiva or kas in you. Usually it's an external thing. It's something outside that triggers it. And he says there's a moment between stimulus and response. And freedom lies in choosing how to use that moment. That's what the ultimate is. And he's mechaven here to Rabbi Yisrael Salant and to many chazal. Yes, the stimulus, it happens. That happens. You've got a taiva. Something happens, you see something you shouldn't see, you hear something you shouldn't hear, somebody makes you angry, whatever it is, it triggers a desire in you. It makes you want. That's normal. And to pretend that didn't happen is abnormal. And to deny that it happened is abnormal. You've got to be able to say, it happened. I got triggered. Now there's a moment where I have bechira. My bechira is not whether I was triggered or not, that was circumstance. My bechira is, what do I do about it? How do I respond? And what is my reaction? And ze kol ha'odah. To be able to get better and better in the moment, to choose, to recognize the trigger and what it's done to you, and to choose how to respond. And little by little, you'll notice you're not triggered the same way. Things happen and they used to trigger you and they don't trigger you anymore. Because your mind, your whole teva, begins to change into one of shleimus, into one that wants and desires and wants to work and live towards that shleimus, which, as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, is the purpose of the world. So we started off saying, is our job to become greater people, or is our job to make a difference in the world? As powerful generators of energy, the greater we become as human beings, the more energy we're putting out. And if you look at some of the great people and what they've done, Moshe Rabbeinu was stuck in Paris palace for the first part of his life. And then he was a manager in Yisro's business until he was 80. He only started making a difference when he was 80. But look who he was by then. And look what a difference he could make. He could communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam, mekabel the Torah. That was because of who he became, for the work he did on himself. Yeah, he started off with some advantage, but he developed that to the full. And Avraham Avinu ran an empire. He was a businessman. Yitzchok, Yaakov ran an empire. These were people who had massive businesses. That wasn't what changed the world. It was who they were. At the end of the day, when Paro meets Yaakov, he doesn't meet a CEO. He doesn't meet a chief executive officer of a large organization. He meets a Yaakov Avinu. And in his presence, he realizes, oh my goodness, this is something different. When Paro meets Yosef, he doesn't meet a little slave boy. He immediately recognizes, he feels that energy. And if you want to develop, that's the opportunity. When you're in yeshiva, you have an unbelievable opportunity to build that generator. And you build the generator the way Rabbi Yisrael says. You build it by learning. The learning, not only does it improve your mind and do you learn and get ideas and a connection with Torah, all of that, of course. But in addition to that, it's an energizer that you're plugging into the greatest energy there is in the world. You're plugging in and you're drawing on that energy. And that's why you can sometimes come to a shir tired or to a chavrusa tired, and very quickly you forget, you're not tired anymore. It energizes you, it doesn't drain you. When you mechadish something, that doesn't tire you, it energizes you. So one of the biggest sources of energy is Torah, is learning. And you're in a state at this stage in your lives when you're doing that all day, you're getting that energy. Notice it, use it, build yourselves with it. Develop yourselves, become the most powerful generators you can. Because if you're a powerful generator of ruchnistika energy, it doesn't matter what your role is. You become a rov, you become a rosh yeshiva, you become a melamed, you become a dayan, you become a businessman, you become a teacher, you become a lawyer. It doesn't matter what you do. You're generating that ruchness, you're generating that energy, and you're impacting the world, you're changing the world. Not necessarily through what you're doing. Sometimes through what you're doing. But more important, you're changing the world, not by what you do, but by who you are. So, good luck. Have a tzloch.